I want to speak to Sam McBride, political editor of the newsletter. Another big day for RHI. Arlene Foster is back in the seat. Sam, good morning.
Good morning to you, Frank.
Well, Sam, we more or less know her opinions and we know her thought process because of the written statements. But how are you expecting it to pan out for Arlene Foster today?
Well, it's certainly a huge day for her. It's a huge test. I think this is a career-defining moment, if you like, for Arlene Foster. She has been up in front of the inquiry for 3.5 days, giving evidence before the summer. So this is not, if you like, new to her. She has some experience of this. But she's being pressed here around a period where there are probably the most questions and the most difficult questions for her. And really, it falls into roughly three categories. There's a period in the middle of 2015 where there's a delay to putting in cost controls on the scheme once it's known that it's out of control. There's the allegation around that time that her special advisor, Andrew Crawford, is the person who's working to frustrate those who are trying to put cost controls in the scheme. She says she had no knowledge of that, Dr. Crawford, that he didn't do that. But there are very difficult questions around that because of some of the evidence from some of the other people who were involved at that point. Then there's the period where the scheme was closed finally at the start of 2016, and there was a two-week delay to that, and there are allegations from Jonathan Bell that Mrs. Foster ordered him to keep it open. There are allegations that Sinn Féin had a role in that, so that's again quite a significant period. And then finally we come to the period in late 2016 where really this whole scandal becomes a very public issue. There's the Spotlight programme, there is the Jonathan Bell interview, and really it all escalates to a point where ultimately Stormont collapses, and that is the period where we have the most documentary evidence. We have got a lot of text messages, a lot of emails, a lot of very clear contemporaneous records as to what actually was going on within government and within the DUP at that point. So three quite distinct areas, but each of them very significant for Mrs. Foster.
She'll borrow, I'm sure, obviously from her expertise as a leading politician, but also from her legal background. You need all your mettle when you get to this point and you're such a central figure.
That's right. And I mean, we know from Mrs. Foster's evidence to the inquiry from the first 3.5 days of that, we've got a fair idea of how it's going to go. And certainly in the first 20-odd minutes from this morning, I think it's fair to say that it's roughly followed in that train. There is no sense here that Arlene Foster is doing a massive U-turn, that she's coming into the inquiry and suddenly adopting a very contrite approach to this, that she's falling on her sword or being very strikingly humble about the whole thing. She is pretty consistent in her message here, and that is that she wasn't told of the problem. She would have acted if she had been told of it. It was the fault of other people, civil servants or whoever else. And also she has been pressed a little bit by Sir Patrick Coughlan, the chair of the inquiry this morning, in some quite sharp exchanges already, where he is asking her, why do you not have a clear recollection of, and in this case it's a particular meeting, but really peppered throughout her evidence, both oral and written, has been this refrain of, I don't recall, I can't remember, I'm not sure, I don't have a clear recollection. And there was an exchange this morning where Sir Patrick Coughlan was saying, why do you not have a clear recollection of this? This is a meeting where the claim from Timothy Kearns, who was a DUP special advisor at that point, that really he was going to Mrs. Foster as the minister who had set up the scheme, as the person who had a lot of political capital, if nothing else, tied up in this scheme. And he was saying to her, I'm being told now as the person who's currently in your old department that there's a big problem here. And she's saying that she didn't think it was that important a meeting. And Sir Patrick Coughlan is asking her, should you not have thought that was an important issue? Ought that not to have jumped out at you? So I think we're going to see a lot of that throughout today. The pattern of the inquiry has been to be pretty interventionist, both the counsel to inquiry and the three members of the panel take it in turns, really, if you like, to interrogate the witness. It's not an adversarial process in terms of a cross-examination that you would get in court, but it's certainly not a soft process, and they will be asking very difficult questions of the DUP leader.
Do you get the impression that Sir Patrick Coughlan comes across as someone who's flabbergasted with the way our politicians operate?
Well, at points he clearly is flabbergasted at some of the evidence which is being put to him. This is a retired Court of Appeal judge. This is somebody who has seen a lot of the world, I suppose, coming through his courts over many decades. So it's somebody who perhaps ought not to be easily shocked, but certainly the impression which he gives, and the tone of voice which he uses at various points suggests incredulity at some of the things that are being told to him. There are suggestions that some of the things which the people coming before him do not think are that terribly shocking or surprising, and really to them are just the way politics operates, or certainly the way it operated at Stormont, and their evidence to him really are really difficult to comprehend. And I think that has been a theme running through this inquiry. And he of course, is coming to this from outside the political world. We then have Daoimhnithe O'Brien, who is a retired senior civil servant. So she has a fairly good, a very good understanding of how the civil service world operates and how it ought to operate, and how it certainly operates at the highest levels in Whitehall. And then you've got Dr. Keith McLean, who is the energy expert, who is the person who operates in the private sector, who understands boilers, who understands energy, who understands how businesses operate and how they think. And I think between the three of those people, you really get quite a good spread of expertise, and they're asking different questions from different points of view with different areas of knowledge. But really what that does to the witness, I think, is subject them to a much more forensic examination than simply if they were coming before a barrister in a court or even in an inquiry process.
Just one final question, Sam. The time scale, you say of this being career defining for the likes of Arlene Foster. What is the time scale? When would all this conclude?
Well, if the inquiry sticks to the indicative timetable which it has put out, it will be wrapped up within another 19 sitting days, if my maths is correct. Certainly by the end of October, this will all be done in terms of the evidence sessions. Now, then there will be a gap of about a month, and it will come back at the start of December for 2 or 3 days of closing statements. That's really the equivalent of summing up in a court case, where each of the main participants, and Arlene Foster will be one of those, will have the chance through their counsel to give a statement to the inquiry, setting out their views of the evidence as has been heard by the inquiry. And then we'll be into a not quite clearly defined process where Sir Patrick Coughlan will be writing his report. It's not entirely clear whether he has been writing that as he has been going along, and whether there is a lot of work which has been done there, or whether he will wait until the end of this process to begin that. But whatever happens there, there will be a period where, once his report is finalised, he will then put that to some of the key people who are going to be criticised as part of that process. And that, from other public inquiries we know, can be quite a slow process. So the inquiry into the Iraq War, which was very critical of Tony Blair and of his government, and really took years to get through that process, because Mr. Blair was a pretty reluctant individual when it came to coming back. There were various hoops that had to be jumped through, and there was always the potential that if somebody is going to be criticised, that they then, through their lawyers, try to delay that process, and they can seek to take that to court, etc. So there may be a delay in that process at that point, but certainly in terms of Sir Patrick getting through the evidence and getting it all out there, and the public aspect of this, that should be wrapped up relatively soon.
Okay, Sam, thank you very much indeed. Sam McBride from the Newsletter. The day is flying by. Good morning to you if you've just joined us here on the U105 phone-in. It's Frank Mitchell through to 12 noon.